Okay, thank you very much, all of you. We are very fortunate to have Mataji has joined.
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah, can you take over, Shyamagauri Mataji?
Okay. Hare Krishna. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji, and he is very busy. He's a doctor, but still he gives classes for us. So thank you very much, Prabhuji. You can take over now.
Hare Krishna, Shyamagauri Mataji, Anjana Gopika Mataji, and all the exalted Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis who have joined. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for allowing me to serve you on this conference call today.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudiraye Nashta Prayesu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki. Vasudeva para Veda, Vasudeva para Makha, Vasudeva para Yoga, Vasudeva para Kriya, Vasudeva param Jnanam, Vasudeva param Tapa, Vasudeva paro Dharmo, Vasudeva param Gati. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Namo Pankajana Bhaya Namo Pankaja Maline Namo Pankaja Netraya Namaste Pankajangraye. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vraje Shatanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kajidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Premah Pumarto Mahan Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam Tatra Dharana Para.
Hare Krishna. We will be studying one verse today, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 2, verse number 33.
Maitreya uvacha tasyaivam vadata shapam bhrigosa bhagavan bhavah Nishkramatata kinche vimana ivasanugaha.
Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation.
The sage Maitreya said, when such cursing and counter-cursing was going on between Lord Shiva's followers and the parties of Daksha and Bhrigu, Lord Shiva became very morose. Not saying anything, he left the arena of the sacrifice, followed by his disciples.
Purport. Here, Lord Shiva's excellent character is described. In spite of the cursing and counter-cursing between the parties of Daksha and Shiva, because
Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. He was so sober that he did not say anything. A Vaishnava is always tolerant, and Lord Shiva is considered the topmost Vaishnava. So his character, as shown in this scene, is excellent. He became morose because he knew that these people, both his men and Dakshas, were unnecessarily cursing and counter-cursing one another without any interest in spiritual life. From his point of view, he did not see anyone as lower or higher because he is a Vaishnava. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5.18, Panditaha Samadarshinaha, one who is perfectly learned does not see anyone as lesser or greater because he sees everyone from the spiritual platform. Thus, the only alternative left to Lord Shiva was to leave in order to stop his follower Nandishwar as well as Bhrigu Muni from cursing and counter-cursing in that way. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Hapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganar Gunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurati Se Namaha Pancha Tattva Atmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I would like to offer my respectful, humble obeisances at the lotus feet of all the devotees who are listening. Thank you very much for engaging me in your service. Please, I beg you, please shower your blessings upon a fallen soul like me, so that by the power of your blessings for the next few minutes, I may become empowered, enlightened, and given the ability to somehow glorify Krishna and his devotees in such a way that all our hearts become purified and all our hearts together become attracted to the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we are discussing from Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, a very, very important and instructive Leela. For those of you who have not been following this Leela, I will give a very brief recap as to where we are. Conversation is going on between Vidur and Maitreya Muni. And Maitreya Muni is describing what happened at the Yajna, which was being performed by Daksha. Daksha is a son of Brahmaji. Daksha is a Prajapati, which means he is a demigod who is empowered and whose service is to produce generations of living entities, to populate the world which has been created by Brahmaji. It's a very powerful position, and Daksha was associating with all the demigods and all the heavenly residents in a very, very elite society. Daksha Prajapati, he was associating with the big shots of the universe, not big shots of one particular city or one particular country. No, these are big shots of the entire universe. And Daksha, being a son of Brahmaji, was a devotee of Krishna. But devotees are of different levels. Devotees are of different categories depending on their levels of spiritual realization and their faith and their character and purification. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we see three types of yajna, three types of sacrifices being performed by three types of devotees of Krishna. There are devotees who are influenced by the mode of ignorance, like Daksha. So this sacrifice performed by Daksha, we have to understand that Daksha was influenced by the mode of ignorance because he became angry at Lord Shiva. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Trividham narakashedam dwaram nashanam atmana kama krodha tatha lobhas tasmadetat trayam tyajet. Oh my dear Arjun, there are three gates which take us to hell. All these living entities, all of us, can go to hell if we enter through these three gates. There are three royal gates which take us to hell. Dwaram means door, gates to hell, narak. Three means three. Trividam naraka edam dwaram nashanam atmana. All of us jivatmas, these three sinful propensities have the power to destroy us. Dwaram nashanam atmana. What are these three gates to hell?
काम क्रोधस्तथा लोभस लस्ट एंगर एंड ग्रीड काम क्रोध एंड लोभ तस्मादेतत्रयं त्यजेत दैट्स व्हाई अर्जुन यू शुड गिव अप दीज थ्री प्रोपेंसिटीज ऑफ लस्ट एंगर एंड ग्रीड बिकॉज दक्ष प्रजापति became influenced by anger and envy, his sacrifice was in the mode of ignorance. Later on in Srimad Bhagavatam, we also see the great story of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj also was performing austerities and sadhana, but his aim was to get a kingdom, to get wealth and power and prestige even greater than his own father. And Dhruva Maharaj's father was Maharaj Uttalapad. Dhruva was only 5 years old, but he was performing this austerity, this sadhana, these spiritual practices because he wanted a kingdom greater than his own father, Maharaj Uttalapad. Who was the son of Manu, who was the son of Brahmaji. So Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom actually better than his father, Maharaj Uttanapad, better than his grandfather, Manu, and even better than his great-grandfather, Brahmaji. That was his ambition. So he was performing his sadhana, his spiritual practices, with the expectation of getting something in return. He had a vested interest. He had a selfish motive. But pure devotional service is unmotivated. Ahaituki. Savai pumsaparo dharmo yatho bhaktir adhokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami describes what is Shuddha Bhakti, what is pure devotional service unto Krishna and to Lord Adhokshaja. It is the ultimate religion. It is parodharmo. That is bhakti, devotional service. And it should be ahaituki, unmotivated. And it should be continuous. Not that, okay, I will do fast for this God on Saturday. Or I will do this fast on every Monday. Or Chaturthi, or this, or that. No. It should be continuous. Apratihata. Every day. Chanting minimum 16 rounds. Every day. Even on Sundays. Even on Saturdays. Even when we are on vacation. Uninterrupted. That is devotional service. Offering bhoga to Krishna. Every day. Wherever we are. Eating Krishna prasad. Every day. Wherever we are. Devotional service is continuous, every day, no break. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Studying Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day. This conference call is, Bhakti Sangha conference call is, every day, no break. That is pure devotional service. Unmotivated and uninterrupted. But Dhruva Maharaj, his spiritual practice at that time was motivated. He wanted a kingdom far greater than his father, grandfather and great-grandfather. So the spiritual practice performed by Dhruva Maharaj, at least initially, before he had darshan of Lord Vishnu, is considered to be in the mode of passion. So Daksha Prajapati's yajna, mode of ignorance, Dhruva Maharaj's sadhana, mode of passion, and Prithu Maharaj was performing yajna after yajna, sacrifice after sacrifice for the betterment of his citizens, for the betterment of humanity, for the elevation of all living entities living in his kingdom. Selflessly, without any motive, without any tinge of anger or envy, or greed or pride or lust. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj's yajna or sacrifice is in the mode of goodness. So
So in Srimad Bhagavatam, we see these three types of yajnas. And then also described in the sixth canto is the Rajasuya Yajna of Maharaj Yudhishthir. And this is pure devotional service, Shuddha Sattva. It is beyond the three modes. Why? Because Yudhishthir Maharaja's internal reason for performing Rajasuya Yajna in Indraprastha was to establish the supremacy of Krishna and to worship Krishna. Therefore, after the Rajasuya Yajna, you have to, as part of the Rajasuya Yajna, you have to select the greatest personality present in the Yajna and offer the first worship, Agra Puja. Agra means first, highest. You have to offer that Agra Puja to the greatest personality. And Yudhishthir Maharaj and his elders like Bhishma Dev, they unanimously selected Krishna as the greatest personality. And they worshipped him in the Rajasuya Yajna. Therefore, that is pure devotional service. It is beyond the three modes. So anyway, Daksha Prajapati was performing this Yajna. And all the demigods had come. Brahmaji was there. Daksha's daughter, one of his daughters, Sati, was married to Shivji. So Daksha's son-in-law, Shivji, was also there. Now Shivji and Daksha both had appeared from Brahmaji. So they were contemporaries. But from a material relationship standpoint, Shivji was junior to Daksha because Shivji was the son-in-law of Daksha. Daksha was the father-in-law. So from a mundane family standpoint, Daksha was at a superior relationship. And Shivji was in a junior relationship. So Shivji was there. Brahmaji was there. All the crores and crores of demigods were there. They had all come. And Daksha, the name Daksha means one who is very expert. And Daksha was very expert in whatever he did. He was performing that yajna. He was presiding over that yajna. He was conducting that yajna. It was his yajna. So when he arrived in the arena of the sacrifice, all the demigods, they stood up and they offered Daksha respect. They offered Daksha his seat. But because Shivji is an incarnation of Krishna, he is an avatar of Krishna, he is the Guna avatar. Sattva Guna avatar is Vishnu. Rajo Guna avatar is Brahmaji. And Tamogun, in charge of Tamogun, is an incarnation of Krishna called Shivji. So Shivji is a Guna avatar of Krishna. So being a Guna avatar, he was at a spiritually, from a tattva standpoint, he was at a very, very high position compared to Daksha. Daksha is a Jivatma, whereas Shivji is Shiva Tattva. Nobody can be equal to Shivji. No living entity, no Jivatma can ever become equal to Shivji, not even Brahma. Brahma is also inferior to Shivji. So Brahmaji did not stand up because Brahmaji was the father of Daksha. And Shivji did not stand up because Shivji is Lord Shiva. Why does he need to stand up and offer respect to ordinary materialistic person like Daksha? But Daksha, being materialistic, did not see that everybody in the Yajna has stood up and offered respects. He only noticed that Shivji has not stood up. Daksha did not mind that Brahmaji has not stood up because Brahmaji was the father. Brahmaji was Daksha's father. So Daksha did not mind Brahmaji not standing up. But he took offense because Shivji did not stand up. Oh, he is my son-in-law. He is junior to me. And he is not standing up and offering me respect. Daksha became very angry. Crores of demigods who were standing and offering him respect was not enough for him. One person was not standing up. And that was very, very irritating. Very, very frustrating for Daksha. And he looked at Shivji with angry eyes and started chastising Shivji. And we have to see how human nature works. First, Daksha criticized Shivji for what Daksha thought was wrong. He criticized Shivji for not standing up and offering respects to his own father-in-law. And then, to justify his criticism of Shivji, he felt like giving more and more evidence, more and more support to his statement. And this is what happens to us in our devotee relationships. Very important for all of us to understand. We have some disagreement with some devotee. We see some fault in some devotee. And we criticize that devotee. We talk about the fault, apparent fault, so-called fault of that devotee. And now that we have spoken, now we want to justify. I tell Shyama Gauri Mataji something very bad about another devotee. Now I'm thinking, is Shyama Gauri Mataji convinced by my criticism? Maybe she is not. Let me give more evidence. And then I will say, and you know what, Shyama Gauri Mataji? Not just what I told you, but this devotee 2 years ago had done this also. And do you know, that devotee was telling me that this devotee 4 years ago had also done this. It's a pattern, Mataji. I'm telling you, this devotee is really very bad. To justify my one criticism, I will give 3 or 4 more criticisms to justify my standard. Everybody should think that Adi Gadadhar Prabhu is 100% justified in criticizing this devotee. He's very right. He's not doing anything wrong. To justify my stand, I will give more and more criticism. And that is exactly what Daksha did. First, he criticized Shivji for not standing up and offering him respect. But then, in front of all these demigods, he's criticizing such a powerful personality like Shivji. Now he wanted to justify his stand. So he started hitting under the belt. He became very cheap and started making cheap allegations. He started making allegations against Shivji's appearance. Now, what has one's physical appearance got to do with one's character? Just think. That is hitting under the belt. That is Vaishnava Aparadha in a very profound way. Daksha said, my daughter Sati, your wife, is as good as Gayatri Mantra. She's so pure. And you, Shivaji, your name Shiva means all auspicious. But actually, you're most inauspicious. Therefore, your name should be a Shiva. My daughter Sati, her eyes are large and beautiful, like a female deer, like a doe. She is doe-eyed. And you, ugly Shiva, your eyes are like that of a monkey. Now, Daksha was always very good-looking, very well-dressed, very well-groomed. And he started criticizing the appearance of Shivji. Your body is covered with the ashes from the crematorium. You take ashes from dead bodies and smear it on yourself. What kind of person are you? You just wear some animal skin around your body, or sometimes you don't even wear anything. How abominable. Sometimes your body is covered with snakes. You have snakes around your neck and arms. How disgusting. You are always associating with bhoot, ghosts and demons. How horrible. So now, Daksha is not only criticizing Shivaji's behavior, but he is criticizing Shivaji's physical appearance and also Shivaji's associates. Just see how the Vaishnava Aparadha keeps getting worse and worse, keeps getting bigger and bigger. How the blasphemy and criticism keeps getting uglier and uglier. And then, by the power of his envy and anger, Daksha is not able to stop there. He ends up not only criticizing Shivji, but he ends up criticizing his own father, Brahmaji, also. He says, I made a big mistake by listening to my father, Brahmaji. It was my father, Brahmaji, who suggested that I should marry my daughter to you. I should not have listened to him. But somehow I listened to him, I was forced by him, and I ended up getting my daughter married to you. It was the biggest mistake. Just see how criticism works. It just carries you away. You get carried away. So much criticism. And Shivji was just sitting there silently, tolerating. Because a Vaishnava is Trinadapi suni cheva tarorapi sahishtuna amani namana dena kirtaniya sadahari. This is the formula given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is our motto. All of us Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our motto is this verse, the third verse of Shikshashtakam. Now let us analyze Shivaji's behavior. When he was being criticized, very humbly and in a very tolerant way, he was just sitting. So he demonstrated the qualities of tolerance and humility. Sahishnu and humility. Sunichen. He took a very humble position and he tolerated the blasphemy. He was not expecting any respect from anyone. That is why he was able to tolerate. So he was a manila. But one may question, in this Leela, how does Shivaji demonstrate, being the ideal Vaishnava, being a great personality, being an incarnation of Krishna, how does Shivaji exemplify mana dena? Okay, he is tolerating. Okay, he is humble. Okay, he is a manina. He is not expecting any respect for himself. But he did not stand up when Daksha came in. Mana dena. That is also important. Only then, Kirtanya Sadahari. Only then you can chant the name of Krishna in a pure state, always. So how does, in this episode, how does Shivaji demonstrate the quality of mana dena, giving respect? Giving respect to Daksha Prajapati. Our acharyas explain. They say that when Daksha came, Shivaji internally in his heart offered obeisances to Daksha. Externally he did not stand up. But internally, as soon as Daksha came, Shivaji offered his respect to Daksha. In fact, it is explained by Acharya that Shivaji offers his respects to everyone. You know how? Because Shivaji can see his beloved Lord Krishna situated in everyone's heart. Sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivishto mataha smritir jnanam apohanam cha vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo Vedanta krit veda vid eva chaham. In Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham ridhi sannivishto. I am situated in everyone's heart. So Shivaji could see that his beloved Lord Krishna is situated in Daksha's heart. So when Daksha walked inside the assembly, internally Shivaji offered respects. But Daksha could not understand that. So Shivaji, perfect Vaishnava. He was mana dena also. But Daksha kept on criticizing. And Shivaji tolerated. But the associates of Shivaji, the devotees of Shivaji, the followers of Shivaji could not tolerate this apradh against their Lord. So Nandishwar, so Daksha, he not only criticized Shivaji, but he cursed also. Just see the power of anger and envy. Daksha was not satisfied insulting Shivaji in front of all the devatas. It was not enough. He wanted to cause more harm. Now anger becomes envy. Anger becomes envy. First he was angry that Shivaji did not stand up and offer him respects. Because he was expecting respect. He was not a manina like Shivaji. Daksha was not a manina. He was expecting respect. He was manina. And when he did not get that respect, he got angry. And anger gave rise to envy. And when we have envy, we want to destroy the object of our envy. Daksha wanted to destroy Shivji. He wanted to hurt Shivji. So he cursed him. That all these sacrifices, all these yajnas that happen, all the demigods, all the devatagan, they get their share at the end of the sacrifice. I curse you, Shiva, I curse you that you will never get any share from these sacrifices. Daksha cursed like this because he was attached to the results of the sacrifices. He was very attached to what he used to get from all these different sacrifices. Whatever benefits he would get from all these sacrifices, he was very attached to it. Therefore, he cursed Shivji like that. That may you never get any gift from any sacrifice that the other demigods get. This is our mentality. Whatever our attachments are, we think others are also attached to that. We falsely think that others are also attached to that. And therefore, we cause injury to them based on our attachments and perceptions. For example, if I came to United States of America from India and I desperately want a green card so that I can settle here permanently and enjoy myself in this great country where there are so many facilities for sense enjoyment, and I am envious towards another person, my envy will make me wish that may this person never get his green card. May his H-1B visa expire and may he have to go back to India. In fact, I may even pray like that. What a rascal he is. May he never get his green. May his labor not get approved only. May he lose his project. May his H-1B go. May he lose his job and may he have to return to India. Good riddance. That is the nature of envy. But devotees are always protected by Krishna. When Shivji was cursed like this, that may you never get any benefits from any sacrifice that is performed ever in this world, internally Shivji was very happy. Why? Because to get any benefits, any gifts from these sacrifices, you have to sit with all the materialistic demigods. They are devotees, but they are materialistic devotees. Karma Mishra Bhaktas. And Shivji doesn't like to associate with materialistic demigods. He would rather sit on Kailash with Vaishnavi on his lap. One of the names of Mother Parvati is Vaishnavi. He is happy to sit on Kailash with Vaishnavi on his lap and all his devotees sitting in attendance and hearing Hari Katha from Shivji. Shivji, instead of sitting with materialistic demigods, trying to get some materialistic benefits from this materialistic sacrifice, he would rather sit in Kailash and speak Hari Katha and meditate on Hari Katha and Hari Nam. That is Shivji. So Shivji internally said, thank you very much. Actually, I am not interested in getting all these material benefits from such materialistic sacrifices. So he was happy. Similarly, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cursed, when he was Mayapur Chandra, Sachinandan, Gaura Hari, doing Sankirtan in Navadvip before he took sannyas, one envious Brahman who wanted to enter Srivasangan but was not given permission because he was not purified and did not have faith, he got so angry that he was denied permission that he cursed Sri Gaura Hari. He cursed Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He said, may you never enjoy any family life. May your family life be finished. He cursed like that because he himself was very much attached to his wife and children and house and wealth. So based on his attachments, he tried to punish Gauranga Mahaprabhu by cursing him that may your family life be finished. And internally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and said, that is very good. That is what I am thinking also. I am thinking of taking sannyas very soon. So thank you. Your curse is a blessing. So devotees, because they are protected by Krishna, devotees, because they are Krishna conscious, any curse they get becomes a blessing by the mercy of Krishna. Narad Muni also was cursed by same person, Daksha, that may you never be able to have a house, may you never be able to stay in one place. Narad Muni took it as a blessing. Okay, I will never have a house, I will never be able to stay in one place for long. That's good. That will actually facilitate my preaching activities. Now I will just keep traveling and preaching. Parivrajakacharya Narad Muni ki jai. He became a Parivrajakacharya, traveling everywhere as an acharya. So devotees, by the mercy of Krishna, can convert curses also into blessings. And then, when he cursed Shivaji like this, when he blasphemed Shivaji like this, Nandishwar could not take it, sitting down. So he stood up. And to defend Shivaji, he counter-cursed. Daksha cursed Shivaji. Nandishwar chastised Daksha and Daksha's followers and cursed them. That may, because you are acting so materialistic and you have offended a great personality like Shivaji, may you be destroyed and may you get the head of a goat. Because Daksha was very proud of his looks, his aristocracy, mingling with the elite society of the heavenly planets. He was always very well groomed, well dressed. His face was very beautiful, very effulgent. So Nandishwar cursed, counter cursed Daksha, that may you get the face, the head of a goat. May you become a goat head. And then he also chastised Daksha. Nandishwar chastised Daksha that you are so proud of your Brahminical qualifications, so proud of these yajnas that you are doing, the sacrifices that you are conducting. So because he chastised all these Brahmins, one Brahmin called Bhrigu Muni, he got up, apparently taking side with Daksha. And he counter-cursed Nandishwar and the other followers of Shivaji, that may you become atheistic because you are criticizing the Brahmins who are the protectors of Vedic culture. May you lose Vedic culture. May you become atheistic. May you have long hair. You will be drinking wine and eating flesh and doing all sorts of non-bona fide worship of Shivaji. And in that way, you will all fall down into the atheistic class. So there was cursing, counter-cursing going on. And Shivaji was just silently listening, tolerating, not saying anything in his own defense, not cursing anybody. But he saw that things are going too far. This is supposed to be a sacrifice, a pious activity, a holy activity. Instead of that, this Daksha is unnecessarily getting angry. He's cursing me. My followers are cursing him. His followers are cursing my followers. So much cursing, counter-cursing, counter-counter-cursing is going on. So Shivaji, being a Mahajan, to set an example, he's teaching us what we should do. He just, in his heart, he was very much pained that these devotees are behaving like this. See, all our devotees, all demigods are devotees. Just see. We are not talking about demons versus demigods here, my dear friends. These are all devotees of Krishna. Daksha is a devotee of Krishna. Bhrigu Muni is a devotee of Krishna. Nandishwar is a devotee of Krishna. Still they are fighting. Not just fighting, they are criticizing. Not just criticizing, they are cursing each other. Shivaji is teaching us what to do in such a situation. He was pained at heart. A Vaishnava is paradukha dukhi. Shivaji understood that because of their inimical behavior, they have displeased Krishna. Therefore, they will suffer. And foreseeing their suffering, he was pained at heart. To prevent further cursing and further fights, Shivji, like an exemplary Vaishnav, got up and left. Shivji got up and left. He did not speak a word. He did not criticize. He did not blaspheme. He did not curse. He did not counter curse. Very important for us. Shivji said nothing because he was being attacked. If we are personally criticized, we should take it in the right spirit. We should take it as an opportunity to become humble and tolerant. We should honestly try to examine, is there truth in this? There must be truth in this. For example, if someone criticizes me personally, I should think that this devotee must be seeing something bad in me. That is why he's saying these things. So let me honestly introspect. Let me take stock of my thoughts, of my actions, to see what wrong I'm doing. We should make allowance for other people's criticisms of us. We should not just brush them off or sweep them under the carpet, thinking, this devotee is envious of me. That's why he's giving me negative feedback. That's why he's criticizing me. No. We can do that. But if we do that, we will not grow. We will not grow spiritually. So because Shivji was being criticized personally, he tolerated. He tolerated. Therefore, when we are criticized personally, we should also tolerate. Many times we see that on the social media, especially on Facebook and WhatsApp, people write comments and then other people write further comments opposing them. And there is a fight, there is an argument, comment after comment, argument after counter-argument, criticism, counter-criticism. So many things, internet war goes on. It is not helping anybody. In fact, other people are reading these comments and they are getting bewildered. What kind of devotees are these? They are fighting like this openly. They have to learn from Shivji. Shivji did not get involved in all this. The verse that we read today, Shivji is demonstrating ideal Vaishnava behavior. He simply walked out. He simply left. What a great quality of Shivji. What a great quality. Today is also the appearance day of Gadadhar Pandit. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, we will discuss similarities between this Leela of Daksha and Shivji and Gadadhar Pandit. Today is the appearance day of Gadadhar Pandit, and there is a great similarity between what we are studying in Srimad Bhagavatam today and the life of Gadadhar Pandit. Daksha Prajapati could not recognize the greatness of Shivji. Daksha Prajapati got trapped in the external appearance. Daksha Prajapati got caged, got confined, got trapped in a mental box which he had created. Daksha Prajapati had a particular idea of how a great personality should be. A great personality should be a demigod like me. A great personality should be well-dressed like me. A great personality should be well-groomed like me. A great personality should be good-looking like me. A great personality should have great exalted associates like my associates. Not ghosts and bhutas like Shivji's associates. Daksha Prajapati had his own ideas. And his mentality was, if someone doesn't fit into my idea, they are wrong. something is wrong with them. My dear friends, we all suffer from this disease. We all have this type of mentality, like Daksha. If this Prabhuji is not wearing dhoti and kurta when he comes for satsang, he is not a sincere devotee. Why is he wearing a trouser? Why is he wearing a yogi pant instead of dhoti? Prabhupada said we should wear dhoti kurta. This devotee is not sincere. Why does this devotee not have a shikha? He is too embarrassed to grow a shikha. Attached person. Materialistic devotee he is. Why is this Mataji wearing salwar kameez? Salwar kameez is not a Vaishnava dress. She should wear a sari like me. We judge other devotees. Why is this devotee having Ekadashi Prasadam, Nirjal Ekadashi? Why is this devotee drinking water on Janmashtami? Not sincere. Not austere enough. Why is this devotee still having to chant two rounds? Why is he saying two rounds are left? It's 8 o'clock at night. I finished all my rounds during Brahma Murta. Not a sincere devotee. We are quick to judge others. When it comes to others, we are very enthusiastic judges. We judge them. And when it comes to us, we are very, very aggressive and enthusiastic advocates, lawyers, attorney. We defend ourselves. Adi Gadadhar Prabhu, it's 10 a.m. You're going for bath now? Prabhu. I slept very late last night. Still, I got up at 3 o'clock. I had a bath. I chanted. And then I took some rest. That's why I'm having a bath again. Prabhu, don't think I did not have bath during Brahma Murta. What are you saying? I already had. This is my second bath. Justifying our stand. Nobody should think that I am a Kanishtha Adhikari or Madhyam Adhikari. They should think I am a Uttam Adhikari. When it comes to ourselves, we are very enthusiastic lawyers. When it comes to others, we are very enthusiastic judges. We judge them. Shivaji is teaching us to be peaceful, devoted, tolerant, humble, amanina, and manadena. Today is the appearance day of the incarnation of Srimati Radharani, Gadadhar Pandit. He is one of the five aspects who manifested as God in Gaurlila. Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Swarupakam Nityananda Prabhu Bhaktavataram Advaitacharya Bhaktakhyam Srivas Pandit Namami Bhakta Shaktikam Gadadhar Pandit Bhakta Shakti Ladini Shakti Srimati Radharani Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adigaur Bhakta Vrinda. Gadadhar Pandit is one of the five personalities in Pancha Tattva. Today is his appearance day. Gadadhar Pandit was a great devotee of Krishna from his birth. Of course, he is an incarnation of Srimati Radharani. And one of his best friends was Mukunda Dutt. Of course, Nimai Pandit was his best friend. But one of his best friends was Mukunda Dutt. One time, a great Vaishnav called Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to Navadvip Dham, where Mukunda Dutt and Gadadhar Pandit were staying. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was from the same village as Mukunda Dutt. So Mukunda Dutt knew the glories of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He knew that Pundarik Vidyanidhi is a great devotee of Krishna. Great devotee of Krishna. And Gadadhar Pandit was also a great devotee of Krishna. So Mukunda thought that I should introduce my friend Gadadhar Pandit to this senior devotee, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. They will have such a nice association with each other. So he tells Gadadhar Pandit, my dear Gadadhar, a great devotee has come from my native village. His name is Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He is a great devotee of Krishna. He worships Mother Ganga. He is so devoted that he does not even place his foot into Mother Ganga to take Ganga Snan. He is so considerate. He is so sensitive. Because he feels it's an aparad to Mother Ganga to put our foot into Ganga Devi. So he simply worships her from a distance. Simply worships her from a distance. He is a great lover of Krishna and he has come to Navadvip. Please come with me and let us take his darshan. Let us get his association. Gadadhar Pandit is very enthusiastic. So he goes and Mukunda Dutt introduces Gadadhar Pandit to Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Mukunda Dutt tells Pundarik Vidyanidhi, "Oh Mahashay, this young brahmachari is my friend. His name is Gadadhar. He is the son of Madhav Mishra and Mother Ratnavali. Gadadhar is a brahmachari from birth and he is very much devoted to Krishna. Very much devoted to Krishna. And he is very learned. And he has come to receive your blessings and your association today." And then Gadadhar Pandit looks at Pundarik Vidyanidhi and he sees Pundarik Vidyanidhi that he is around the age of his father. He is in his middle age and he is very well groomed and well dressed. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is wearing very expensive silk clothes, very colorful clothes, and his body is smelling very fragrant because his body is smeared with fragrant oils like sandalwood oil. And these fragrant oils are also applied to the long, beautiful hair of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi's hair are very nicely oiled and very carefully combed. Pundarik Vidyanidhi's face is covered with very expensive and costly cosmetics. He is wearing kajal around his eyes. His lips are reddish because of chewing betel nut pan. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is wearing very, very expensive necklaces and bracelets and rings made of gold and precious jewels like diamonds and rubies. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is sitting on a very expensive bed covered with very soft cushion and he's surrounded on the bed by pillows covered with velvet, soft velvet. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi is being fanned with chamara fans by two servants, one on either side. And very fragrant, wonderfully flavored juices and drinks are kept in expensive glasses in front of him. And there are two mirrors in front of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And every now and then, Pundarik Vidyanidhi is looking at his own reflection in the mirror and appreciating how good-looking he is, how well-dressed he is, how well-groomed he is. And every once in a while, he's adjusting his hair, looking at himself in the mirror. How vain. When the simple brahmachari Gadadhar Pandit, who was only wearing a simple dhoti and a chadar, when he saw this so-called devotee Pundarik Vidyanidhi dressed so opulently, applying cosmetics, applying perfumed oils, eating pan, drinking very, very tasty beverages, sitting on a beautiful bed, being fanned by his servants, looking at himself very vainly in the mirror. When Gadadhar Pandit saw this, his mind became bewildered. What kind of a devotee is he? What kind of a devotee is he? My friend Mukunda Datta told me that Pundarik Vidyanidhi is a great devotee of Krishna. But just look at his appearance, look at his activities. He doesn't look like a devotee from any angle. These thoughts started coming into the mind of Gadadhar Pandit. Just like Daksha could not recognize the greatness of Shivji because he started looking at Shivji with material vision that he is not a guna avatar of Krishna, Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva is just my son-in-law. He got carried away by the externals. He's putting ashes on his body. He has snakes and skulls, necklaces made of skulls around his neck. All those external things. And Daksha Prajapati could not recognize Shivji. Similarly, Gadadhar Pandit got bewildered by the external appearance of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. But Gadadhar Pandit's fortune was, he was in a devotee association. He had a friend like Mukunda Dutt. Mukunda Dutt understood what is going on in the heart of his dear friend Gadadhar Pandit. He understood that Gadadhar Pandit is getting bewildered by seeing the externals with Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Immediately, Mukunda Dutt recited a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, spoken by Uddhav. And Mukunda Dutt, in his beautiful voice, sang, Aho bakiyam sthanakalakutam jigham sayapayayadapya sadvi lebhe gatim dhatri uchitam yatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. This verse is spoken by Uddhav in glorification of Krishna. He says, Aho bakiyam, that oh, alas, oh. Baki means the sister of Bakasur, Putana. Baki means Putana. Stana means her breast. Kala Kutam, she had smeared that deadly Kutam, means poison. Out of envy, Jighamsaya. And she fed that poison to Krishna. She was asadvi, very, very unfaithful, very sinful. But still, lebhe gatim, she achieved the highest destination. What is that? She became a dhatri of Krishna. Dhatri means a mother who feeds milk to the child. She became Krishna's mother, dhatri. Kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. Who can be more merciful than this? Kamva dayalu. Who can be more dayalu, more merciful than this? Therefore, I cannot take shelter of anybody else other than Krishna. Sharanam vrajema. This verse is from Bhagavatam, third canto. Uddhav speaks this in glorification of Krishna. When Mukunda Dutt sang this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard it. That's it. As soon as he heard, he went into ecstasy. Started calling out, Krishna, Krishna, where are you, Krishna? You're most merciful. You're most merciful. Where are you, Krishna? He went into ecstasy. And he fell down from the bed. And he started thrashing his hands and legs in all directions, like a child crying out with love to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, I want you, Krishna. I want you, Krishna. With desperation, in an ecstatic trance, Pundarik Vidyanidhi started calling out to Krishna. And he kicked his bed and the bed broke. the mattress and the pillows covered with velvet, they flew in all directions. The table on which his beverages were kept, that table broke because he kicked that table. And all the glasses fell down, all the beverages fell down. His hair became disheveled. All the cosmetics, colors on his face, all the gopi dots, chandan dots, everything was smeared. Tears started rolling out of his eyes. He started tearing his clothes, his expensive silken clothes. They got tore. The whole room, the mirrors broke. Everything was in disarray. Everything was topsy-turvy because of his ecstasy. And for 6 hours, he remained in samadhi just by hearing one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. After 6 hours, when he woke up, he was still chanting, Krishna, Krishna. With every breath, he was chanting, Krishna, Krishna. All the 8 ecstatic symptoms started manifesting in his body. And Gadadhar Pandit understood what a great offense he had done, Manas Aparad, by thinking that Pundarik Vidyanidhi was a materialistic person. Actually, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, his motivation was, I am a devotee of Krishna. Everybody knows I am a devotee of Krishna. Therefore, I have to dress up like a Brajvasi. I have to dress up very nicely when I go in front of Krishna. Krishna may come anytime. I should be ready. I should be very well dressed because I am Krishna's devotee. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Therefore, his devotees should also be always very well groomed and well dressed and spick and span. Therefore, for Krishna's pleasure, I will be well dressed. This was Pundarik Vidyanidhi's thinking. Vaishnava era Kriya Mudra. Very difficult to understand a Vaishnava. Very easy to judge. Very difficult to understand the real bhav. What is the bhav? What is the bhav? Very difficult to understand. Why Prabhupada is calling us rascals? Why Prabhupada is criticizing the Mayavadis? Why Prabhupada is chastising the materialistic scientists who are atheists? Very difficult to understand. Very easy to judge. He has the title Maharaj, Swami, Prabhupada, Acharya, Sansthapak Acharya, Parivrajak Acharya, so many upadhis, and he is getting angry. He is screaming and chastising. He is using words like rascal. He is scolding the Mayavadis. He is scolding the atheists. He is getting angry. A sadhu should give up anger long ago. Why is he getting angry? Very easy to judge. Very easy to judge. But very difficult to understand a Vaishnava. We need a friend like Mukunda Dutt to understand a Vaishnava. Mukunda Dutt tried to bring harmony between Pundarik Vidyanidhi and Gadadhar Pandit. Therefore, he brought out the best in Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He brought out bhakti, bhav in Pundarik Vidyanidhi. That is what we should do, my dear friends. In this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, when we associate with each other, we should try our best to bring out the best in each other. Encourage each other. Inspire each other. We should not bring out the worst like Daksha did. Daksha brought out the worst in Nandishwar. He incited him to curse. Daksha brought out the worst in Bhrigu Muni. Incited him also to curse. And he lost the association of Shivji. Shivji got up and left. The greatest Vaishnava left. Therefore, in our society, by our speech, by our actions, by our conduct, by our behavior, we should try to bring out the best in each other. We need guidance of devotees like Mukunda Dutt to reconcile the apparent discrepancies which we see, anomalies which we see in each other.
We need such devotee association. When Gadadhar Pandit realized the greatness of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he accepted Pundarik Vidyanidhi as a spiritual master and actually took Diksha from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi in Krishna Lila was Vrishabhanu Maharaj, the king of Varsana. That is why he used to dress up so opulently. He is the king. Very difficult to understand. And Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani. So Radharani took initiation from her own father. Because father is one of the gurus. Very well. I will conclude today's discussion with something very, very sweet. Because day before yesterday was also the disappearance day of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das Thakur is the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat. Such an important scripture. And he has given us Chaitanya Bhagavat. He has given us so much nectar. Therefore, we will very quickly try to discuss something very wonderful from the life of Vrindavan Das Thakur. It will take 2 minutes and then we'll conclude. I know it's been a long class. Or should we discuss this next time? Shama Gauri Matari, should we end here? It is getting late. It is 8:39. We can discuss this in one of the future classes. Is that okay? All glories to Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Getting late. Does anyone have any correction or comment or question?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, you can actually, if you have time, you can explain about Vrindavan Das Thakur. I don't know if the devotee having it.
Prabhu, you can speak because it's contextual, because it's been just 2 days. So it would be nice to hear about Vrindavan Das Thakur. Yes.
Okay. So very quickly, we will discuss something very relevant and very amazing. This is very sweet. If you hear attentively, this will melt your heart. This will melt your heart. It is so nectarian, so sweet. Vrindavan Das Thakur, such a humble devotee. Such a humble devotee. Just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Very humble. Never even hurts an ant. But he writes,
Eta parihare oje papi ninda kore tabe lathi maron tara chirera upare.
The humble, gentle Vaishnava Vrindavan Das Thakur writes,
Eta parihare oje papi ninda kare.
That sinful person, papi, who does Krishna ninda, who criticizes Krishna or his devotees, specifically who criticizes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu or the Gaudiya Vaishnavas or any Vaishnavas, tabe lathi marun. I will kick him, lath marunga. Tabe lathi marun, tara shira. Shira means head. I will kick him on his head. Shira upare. Sar ke upar lath marunga. I will, anybody who does ninda, who criticizes Krishna or Vaishnavas, I will kick that person on the head. Vrindavan Das Thakur is explaining. So our acharyas explain why such a humble devotee like Vrindavan Das Thakur is speaking like this. There are 3 levels of understanding. Okay? So please hear attentively. Why Prabhupada calls atheists and rebellious scientists and blasphemous Mayavadis as rascals and fools? Why a Mahabhagavat like Prabhupada criticizes them, scolds them, chastises them, uses heavy language? Why? There are 3 levels of understanding. The first level is, by using such heavy words of chastisement, our acharyas are trying to wake up these foolish people, these blasphemers who are doing Krishna ninda and Vaishnava ninda, trying to wake them up, trying to make them realize what they are doing is wrong, trying to
correct them, trying to rectify them in the mood of a parent. Because Guru is like a father. That is one level of understanding. Trying to correct them with heavy words. That's first level of understanding. Second level of understanding is by kicking them on their head, what are they doing? The second level of understanding which our acharyas explain is when Vrindavanas Thakur is saying, I will kick them on their head. Laat maro. I will kick them on their head. The second level of understanding is when Vrindavanas Thakur will kick these blasphemers on their head with his lotus foot, the dust from his lotus foot will fall on the heads of these blasphemers. And by receiving the dust from the lotus feet of a great Vaishnava like Vrindavanas Thakur, they will be liberated. So beautiful. That is why to give his special mercy, Vrindavanas Thakur is saying, I will kick these blasphemers who are doing Krishna Ninda, I will kick them on their head. Because the most powerful substance in all the three worlds, Vaishnava Charana Renu, the dust from the lotus feet of a Vaishnava will fall on the heads of those blasphemers and they will be purified. And the third level of understanding is, suppose now, just I'll give an example. Suppose there are two children. Let's say I have got two children, Ram and Shyam. Ram is the older one, Shyam is the younger one. Ram is 5 years old and Shyam is 2 years old. Okay? So, I have got two sons, Ram and Shyam, 5 year old and 2 year old. Now, if Ram and Shyam are fighting, and Ram being the older one, elder one, he's 5 years old, he's stronger. Let's say in a fight, he beats up 2 year old Shyam. He kicks Shyam on his head. Shyam is 2 years old, Ram is 5 years old. And Ram kicks Shyam on the head. And Shyam comes crying. And I am the father. What will I do? I will immediately go running to Shyam. Because he has been kicked on the head. I will embrace him. I will rub his head. I will ask him, oh Shyam, my dear Shyam, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? And I might chastise Ram. Ram, what kind of nonsense behavior is this? Go away. And I will take Shyam on my lap. And I will give all my love to Shyam. Shyam, beta, you got hurt. Is your head hurting? Are you okay? Are you okay? I will give special love and affection to Shyam because Shyam has just been kicked on the head. Our acharyas explained that Vrindavanas Thakur is saying, I will kick these blasphemers on their head with that same mood. That Krishna is the father and Vrindavanas Thakur and the blasphemers are both children. So Vrindavanas Thakur says, I will do the offense. I will commit the offense of kicking them on their head so that Krishna will chastise me and tell me, go away. And he will take that blasphemer on his lap and ask him, are you okay, beta? Are you okay? Normally, this blasphemer is going to hell. This blasphemer is Bahirmukh. He has turned away from Krishna. He will never get Krishna's lap. But if Vrindavanas Thakur kicks that person on the head, that blasphemer will receive the love and lap of Krishna. Krishna will take him on his lap and say, oh, my devotee has kicked you. I am so sorry on behalf of my devotee. Please come. Are you okay? Are you okay? And that blasphemer will get Krishna's mercy. So to give Krishna's mercy to the blasphemer, Vrindavanas Thakur is willing to commit the offense of kicking somebody on the head. Prabhupada is willing to call somebody rascal. That Krishna will say, oh, my Prabhupada called you rascal. Are you okay? Please don't mind it. Please don't mind it. To give them special mercy, our acharyas are willing to do this also. Just see, so easy to judge, so difficult to understand the depth of the deep hearts of our acharyas. Sarva acharya gan ki jai, jagat guru srila prabhupada ki jai, grantharaj srimad bhagavatam ki jai, ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. We will stop here.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for a very, very wonderful class. Especially every time when you give the class, you always brought the acharyas
appearance and disappearance, and then we explain the past time about this, them. So very nice, Prabhu, especially when their appearance day and then disappearance day, when we listen them, when we grateful with them, when we pray to them, maybe we also get some mercy from them. Thank you so much for your wonderful association. I request all the devotees, if they have any question or comment for Prabhuji, they can go ahead.
Thank you, Anjana Gopika Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very, very nice and nectarian explanations. And nice pastimes you narrated. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Is this Kamadaki Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. This is Kamadaki Dasi.
Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Please continue to shower your blessings on me so I can try to serve you and other devotees in some humble way. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. You are serving so nicely.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you very much for your time. We really enjoy your classes. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. 100 dandavat pranam. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Thakur ki jai. Shri Advaita Acharya ki jai. Thank you very much for wonderful pastime. And main thing, you explain from the pastime and teach us how we have to behave with the Vaishnava. If somebody is criticized, we just pray to Lord Krishna and to our Guru Parampara. As usual, wonderful class. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Guru Dev ki jai. Thank you very much, Adhikara Dada.
108 dandavats to you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila
Prabhupada. Prabhuji, you are very senior. Please.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji, as always, you know. Very nicely you explain about the Daksha Pradyapati and Lord Shiva, how should be as a Vaishnava when somebody criticizes, and how should we do, we should follow the footsteps of Lord Shiva and to be humble in all the positions. And also, thank you so much for the pastimes of the Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Jeev, you took us literally on a... always your lectures are like this. At least it's like an out-of-world experience. We are able to visualize the scenes, and we are able to, you know, go away from what we are. It's like as absorbing as being there personally, Prabhuji. You got a very blessing to bring us the pastimes and the scenes, and also the teachings live in our heart. We are very grateful to you for your classes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
May I know your name, Mataji? Dandavat Pranam.
This is Lalitangi Radha Devi Dasi from Charlotte, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Dandavat Pranam, Mataji. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. It's only by His mercy. Thank you.
Thank you,
Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very nice to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. May I know your good name, please?
My name is Lavanya from Charlotte.
Dandavat Pranam, Mataji. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Sorry, again. I really want to have... I really have one comment I was thinking to say before. As a star, while you are giving the class, I was remembering how we... very easily underestimate about the devotees, and then even the Maharajas, not only the our Vaishnava committee, I mean all the we with the devotees, even we started to complaining. Means with the very, very exalted Vaishnava, and then we should be, how we should be very, very careful talking about the even all the devotees. Thank you, Prabhuji, for bringing that point. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. And I beg each and every devotee, please bless me. I can also see all the good qualities in the, all the devotees and glorify all the devotees. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Very nice comment and prayer. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. This is Naveen. And thank you so much for stressing the point. And we all have the bad qualities like envy, and we are easy to judge people. But this point was like a very helpful for me to think twice before thinking of judging someone. Because very nice topic, Prabhuji. And about Shiva, I want to hear more about Shiva. And I was thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Naveen Prabhu. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Lord Shiva. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Is there any question or comment for Prabhuji? Otherwise, we end the call. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, giving your very, very valuable association. We pay obeisances to the Prabhuji and all the devotees. Vansakalpa, Durvetsa, Kirpa.